This morning, America's First News starts right after this.
When shopping for car insurance, consider this. GEICO has been saving people money on car insurance for over 75 years. So if you're serious about savings, it's simple. Go to GEICO.com. After 75 years, they know how to save you money.
From Compass Media Networks, this is America's First News. This morning, with your host, Gordon Deal.
The UK again investigates a terror attack. Good morning, I'm Gordon Deal. Along with Jennifer Koschenka, it is Monday, June 19. Glad you're with us. Here's what we have for you this hour.
British authorities say a van deliberately plowed into a group of people outside a North London mosque, killing at least one person and injuring several others.
The U.S. Navy confirmed earlier this morning that all seven sailors missing after a collision with a cargo ship Saturday off Japan have been found dead.
In the Middle East, the U.S. military shot down a Syrian fighter jet, which could signal a shift in the Pentagon's approach.
And in business, what now? With Amazon dropping 13 billion to buy Whole Foods.
I think they really value the retail or the store connection to customers. So, I mean, we all buy stuff from Amazon and you really never have that physical touch except for when the box shows up on your front doorstep. This actually gives them a instantaneous bricks and mortar connection point for their brand and for their other offerings.
Marketing and branding expert Dave Sutton on the newest Amazon acquisition and, of course, whether drones will now deliver groceries. He's here in about 20 minutes. Another potential terror attack with a vehicle in London. It happened shortly after midnight when a driver plowed into a crowd outside a mosque in Finsbury Park, North London, killing one person and injuring at least 10 others.
I just saw everyone flying, and then the guy got out of the van saying, "Where's all Muslims? I want to kill all Muslims."
Well, a 48-year-old man was detained by members of the public at the scene and arrested, according to Metropolitan Police. There are no other suspects, and British authorities say it was and is being treated as a potential terror attack. One man was pronounced dead at the scene. Eight people were hospitalized, while two were treated at the scene.
Well, that 5 minutes I was there is something that I'll never, ever forget.
The Finsbury Park incident is the latest London attack where a vehicle was used as a weapon earlier this month. Three assailants mowed down people on London Bridge before stabbing them with knives, leading a total of eight people dead. In March, an attacker used a vehicle to hit pedestrians outside the British Parliament, killing five. We may be seeing a U.S. military that's more willing to directly confront the forces of Syrian President Bashar al-Assad. The Pentagon says an American warplane shot down a Syrian government jet yesterday, the first time in Syria's civil war that a U.S. pilot has struck a regime plane. We get more from this morning's Mike Gavin.
The U.S. military said an F-A-18 Super Hornet shot down the Syrian jet after regime forces twice attacked Syrian fighters leading the assault on Raqqa, the self-declared capital of ISIS terrorists. Those fighters are backed by American soldiers. With the strike, the U.S. military indicated it's now willing to target Syrian regime jets to protect the coalition of Kurdish and Arab fighters working with the U.S. Special Operation Forces. Syrian state media claims its Su-22 jet was carrying out a mission against ISIS when it was down. Gordon.
Thank you, Mike. 9 minutes now after the hour. Well, is he being investigated or not? A personal lawyer for President Trump says the president was not being investigated for possible obstruction of justice, contrary to recent news reports. Attorney Jay Sekulow told NBC's Meet the Press yesterday that the president is not and has not been under investigation. Asked how he knew that, Mr. Sekulow said there had been no notification from the special counsel's office, which he said he would expect in this circumstance.
So the Washington Post issued a story that had five anonymous sources, which they never identified what agencies those sources originated out of. The response from the president, using social media, was about that story.
The Wall Street Journal and other news outlets reported that investigators are now looking into whether Mr. Trump tried to obstruct an FBI probe into Russian meddling in the presidential race. The Journal says special counsel Robert Mueller is examining whether the president fired FBI Director James Comey as part of a broader effort to alter the direction of the FBI probe. The president has called this the greatest witch hunt in American political history. It's 11 minutes now after the hour on This Morning, America's First News. Glad you could be with us. Welcome into Monday. The Senate health bill is still a work in progress with no official text yet. The Republican leadership in the upper chamber has been hammering out the bill behind closed doors. Florida Republican Marco Rubio yesterday warned against rushing a vote, but Wall Street Journal reporter Stephanie Armour says its outline so far seems familiar. Stephanie, what are you hearing?
They are trying to keep this very close to the vest. And the interesting thing is that a lot of the bill seems pretty similar to what passed in the House last month. There are not a lot of significant changes when it comes to the essential structure of what the Senate is looking at, but there is a push to try and make it, I guess you would describe it, more generous in terms of its cuts to Medicaid and funding that it provides to stabilize the market. So that probably is the biggest shift in terms of what we're seeing right now.
All right. So what about those cuts? Fewer of them or a slower rate of them? What's happening?
Mm-hmm. Well, when they're looking specifically at Medicaid, there were 31 states that expanded under the ACA to get more people eligible. And in those states, they're looking at ending the expansion so these people, new people coming on, would not be eligible. They would not be able to get on. But they're looking at doing it either 3 or 7 years later than when the House would end it. The House would end it in 2020. So they would give it a longer glide path, if you will. But in return, there may be steeper cuts to what states would get from Medicaid funding.
All right. Boy, any sense that that is being more well-received by opponents?
No. I think that opponents are pretty united in their concern that both the expansion would be winnowed down and very, very concerned about the potential cuts to states when it comes to funding, because that could effectively hamper enrollment and the ability of people to get coverage. I think that the one area where there's been sort of a sigh of relief is that the Senate bill, from what we've been told, does include at this point funding for insurers, billions of dollars in subsidy payments that these insurers have said, look, if we don't get this, we're not going to continue to offer plans in the individual exchange market. So we are told that it contains $8 to $10 billion a year for 2 years to keep those markets stable.
Wow. That subsidy, is that also part of what some call like a bailout program?
Yes. Yeah. There was some criticism of it. And in fact, there's been a lawsuit from House Republicans over it. It has a very long and kind of complicated history. But the short of it is that insurers who offer policies on individual exchange for 2018, many of them have said, look, we're going to significantly raise premiums or we're going to pull out without this money. So the Senate is saying, look, we'll find a way to give you that money, but in return, we have to potentially keep a lot of the ACA taxes in place. Also, in return for other money that they would give, including beefed up money for people who don't get insurance. So there's other things that would drive that, but that is leading to discussions about retaining some of those very controversial taxes.
We're speaking with Wall Street Journal healthcare policy reporter Stephanie Armour. Her piece is called What May Be in the Senate's Health Bill. Opioid addiction treatment, explain that.
There have been some kind of more moderate senators who have said they really could not support a bill that winnowed people from Medicaid unless there was additional funding to provide opioid addiction treatment. Our understanding is that there is a significant chunk that would be added in the bill for opioid addiction treatment, and that's largely to make sure that the more moderate senators are on board with this plan.
Boy, all right. And then explain, too, refundable tax credits, right? Always a discussion here.
Yes, this was in the House bill. These are tax credits that people who don't get health insurance on the job would get, and they largely were tied to some extent to age. And the Senate is trying to make them more generous because there were reports from CBO that premiums would go up significantly for older people. So they're trying to kind of amp them up for seniors and for people who are low income. But again, that costs money, and that means taxes. Same place.
Thanks, Stephanie. Wall Street Journal reporter Stephanie Armour. It's 20 minutes after the hour on This Morning. Jennifer Koshenka is here with more of America's First News.
Gordon, a van slammed into worshippers near a mosque in London early this morning, killing one person and injuring 10 other people in what witnesses described as a deliberate attack on Muslims. British Prime Minister Theresa May says police are investigating it as a potential terrorist incident. Police arrested a 48-year-old man suspected of driving the van into a group of people as they left the Finsbury Park Mosque shortly after midnight. Neil Basu of the London Metropolitan Police says the man was arrested after being detained by members of the public.
This was an attack on London and all Londoners, and we should all stand together against extremists, whatever their cause.
The incident comes during the Muslim holy month of Ramadan. London police say the number of dead or missing in the high-rise apartment building fire is now 79. The process of identifying victims is likely to take weeks due to the conditions in the tower, which authorities say verge on the indescribable. 18 people remain in hospitals, 9 in critical care. The search for 7 U.S. Navy sailors missing after their destroyer collided with a container ship off Japan has been called off after they were found dead in the ship's flooded compartments. Vice Admiral Joseph Alcoin described the damage and flooding as extensive.
They had to fight the ship to keep it above the surface. So it was traumatic.
Alcoin says the crew's response was swift and effective. It's a title no one wants, overdose capital of the country. Numbers indicate that Montgomery County, Ohio, has more drug overdoses than any other, and officials are blaming the opioid crisis. 365 people died of overdoses in the county between January and May, compared with 371 all of last year. Overdoses are now the leading cause of death for Americans under 50. They now claim more lives than car crashes and gun deaths. Some people have one parent, some have two, and now legally some have three. Courts and legislatures are increasingly putting their stamp on tri-parenting. Such families include gay couples having a child with a friend and men seeking to remain in a paternal role after DNA showed someone else fathered the child they're raising.
This is a legal thing?
Sometimes legal, and sometimes it's being taken up by legislatures around the country.
Tri-parenting.
Tri-parenting.
Wow. And T-R-I, not T-R-Y.
Right.
22 minutes now after the hour. I know my wife and I had this discussion when it was our turn, and it's this. At what point does the cost of daycare outweigh the benefit of working? It's a question many parents must ask as they prepare for a newborn. MarketWatch reporter Maria LaMagna explored some advice and experiences. Maria set this up.
So we actually found that someone was asking this question on the question and answer site Reddit, and they were giving pretty specific information. They were saying, you know, I make $55,000 a year after taxes and, you know, some other things. That's $33,000 in take-home pay. And she was actually calculating out how much daycare would cost, and she estimated it would be about $500 a week for an infant. And so she was really saying, you know, I'm really not going to have very much left over after all of paying for childcare, so I don't know if it's worth it. You know, she was going to have like $100 a week or something after all of those other expenses. And so, you know, she was just trying to decide which way should it go. I was talking to a few experts on what some of the shorter term costs are, the longer term, and then, you know, some of the things you just sort of can't calculate.
Yeah. Boy, that $110 a week left over, that's easily calculated. I mean, easily accounted for, right? Wear and tear on your car if you're a commuter, gasoline, right?
Exactly. Yeah, she could actually just save that money probably in a variety of other ways. So a couple, you know, different people were weighing in on Reddit and sort of telling her, consider this, consider this. And one thing that jumped out to me right off the bat was, yes, this is what's going to happen in the short term. She might just have $100 left over. But if someone is in a position where they could potentially be promoted, you know, taking yourself out of the workforce for even a little while can, unfortunately, you know, in the current situation that we have at a lot of companies, it can unfortunately really negatively impact you. So you're not just looking at the $110 a week. It's whatever that is plus whatever you could be making next year and the year after that. And so it could end up, you know, costing you a lot more in the long term.
Yeah. Not to mention a compounding 401k plan, right?
Exactly. So if you're getting matched, if your employer matches what you put in your 401k, and if you, even if they don't, even if you're just putting money in, yes, you're losing out in how much interest that would gain, not only now, but for however long you leave it in there.
Mm. All right. So ultimately, is there a tipping point?
Right. So What's interesting to me, I think, what was so shocking about looking at the numbers was that if you are in one of those positions that could potentially grow, it could be way more money than you even think. I actually found a calculator that was developed by an economist who was trying to make this decision for his own family. And he found, you know, you can kind of, it's by the Center for American Progress, and if you go in and actually plug in different numbers, you can see how much it would be. And I just did an example of a 30-year-old woman, say she began working at age 22, say she makes $100,000. If she takes just 5 years off from work, that ends up being more than $1 million in income going forward that she would lose in those 5 years, because it's not only the lost wages, it's also however much your wages would grow, and also your retirement assets and benefits. So that's a lot of money, and obviously this is a huge decision that people are making, not just based on financial decisions, but you know, it does end up being quite a bit. And so in most cases, it ends up being worth it if you pay for the childcare in the short term and then continue working yourself.
Thanks, Maria. Market Watch reporter Maria LaMagna. 30 minutes now after the hour on This Morning, America's First News. When a state ranks among the top 10 in the country for major new and expanded facilities, that's pure growth. When it's tops for three straight years, that's pure Michigan. Long known as a world leader in the automotive industry, Michigan is also a leader in defense, cybersecurity, mobility, agribusiness, and aerospace. In fact, CNBC rates Michigan among the top 10 states in the country for business. To learn more, visit MichiganBusiness.org. Small business never stops moving, so Dell's U.S.-based small business technology advisors are trained to keep up. Just call 877-BUY-DELL to get connected with an advisor who will get to know your business and tailor a solution with Dell PCs powered by Intel Core processors that is right for you, so you can focus on your business and leave the tech questions to Dell. Call 877-BUY-DELL to get in touch with a tech advisor today.
America's First News is online all the time. Follow us on Twitter at This Morning Show. Like us on Facebook or send us an email. This Morning at CompassMediaNetworks.com.
Thanks for being with us Monday, June 19. Gordon Deal with Jennifer Koshenka. Some of our top stories and headlines. A van plowed into a crowd outside a London mosque, killing one, injuring several others. A U.S. fighter jet has shot down a Syrian government jet. All seven missing U.S. sailors from the USS Fitzgerald have been found dead after a collision with a container ship off Japan. Death toll in the London high-rise fire is now 79. New efforts to identify and eliminate terrorist content on YouTube. And the tourists who want to experience the 100-degree temps of Death Valley. That story in about 20 minutes. And it's time now for a business update, and it's brought to you by the Michigan Economic Development Corporation. The best place to start or grow your business is at MichiganBusiness.org. Contact them today. Amazon has agreed to buy upscale grocery chain Whole Foods for $13.4 billion as they look to conquer the supermarket sector. Whole Foods has over 460 locations. What's this mean for consumers like us? And what about the branding of this? We're joined now by Dave Sutton, founder and CEO of Top Right, a marketing firm based in Atlanta. Dave, first off, your initial reaction to the deal.
I was a little shocked, to be honest with you, in the beginning, because you know, if you look at it on the surface, you know, think about Amazon as the world's largest retailer buying a very luxury, I would call it expensive, food purveyor, grocery operator. My initial response was a little shock, but the more that I've been thinking about it, the more it kind of makes sense to me, actually.
Yeah, I mean, they've made the move to try to reinvent the grocery business as it is, so I guess this is part of the broader plan.
And I think they really value the retail or the store connection to customers. So, I mean, we all buy stuff from Amazon, and you really never have that physical touch except for when the box shows up on your front doorstep. This actually gives them a instantaneous bricks and mortar connection point for their brand and for their other offerings.
Yeah. So you've got what most would consider a highly successful and very effective online company merging with a brick and mortar type outfit. How does that fly? How could it work?
I think here's the thing. I mean, I don't know if you follow Amazon Go, their convenience store offering that they've been piloting in San Francisco.
Yeah.
I think Amazon aspires to have a bricks and mortar presence. I mean, I think they look at companies like Apple, for example, and they have a great admiration for the retail experience that Apple's created for its customers. So from that perspective, I think they go well together. The big question will be, will they continue to use the Whole Foods brand as the kind of the lead story with the customer, or are they going to try to bring the Amazon brand to the retail grocery environment?
Yeah. We're speaking with Dave Sutton, branding and marketing expert. He's the founder and CEO of a company called TopRight at TopRightPartners.com. We're talking about Amazon's announcement that they are going to purchase the grocery chain Whole Foods. So what about branding here? What does Amazon do with Whole Foods? Does it become Amazon Grocery, or do they leave the Whole Foods brand in place?
I think, you know, again, this is speculation, but from my perspective, I would imagine they will leave it alone for a while. I mean, if you look at Zappos, for example, which they acquired as well, I think their MO up to this point has been buy the brand, figure out the customer, figure out the experience, and leave it as a standalone brand for some period of time. Now, that said, I would expect that, you know, within the next 12 to 24 months, we may see the Amazon brand, you know, popping up where we normally would have expected the Whole Foods brand. So, for example, Whole Foods has been experimenting with this 365 more convenience type of format. That could very soon be an Amazon Go or an Amazon 365 convenience presence, because I do think they value that bricks and mortar presence. They want that Amazon in front of people in their daily lives, not just online, but in, you know, when they're driving around town.
Why do you feel that way about Amazon?
I think that Jeff Bezos has been pretty clear that, you know, he wants Amazon to be a ubiquitous brand, meaning it's everywhere. It's like Coca-Cola, right? I mean, it's always in your life. It's always a part of your life. And as you know, even though the internet has changed our lives, we also have offline lives that he aspires to be everywhere that his customers are. And so the retail presence is really an important part of that.
Are we going to see, say, better or different grocery delivery because of this?
Will we see Whole Foods drones, you know, kind of going around the neighborhood and dropping off, you know, very expensive produce? I don't know. I mean, I think there's so many regulatory issues related to some of those technologies. I do think grocery delivery, home delivery is coming. It is here in many markets already.
Thanks, Dave. Dave Sutton, founder and CEO of TopRight. It's 20 minutes now in front of the hour on This Morning, America's First News. Thanks for being with us on this Monday. Beyond the headlines now, this morning's Mike Gavin is here with a look at some of the other stories you'll be talking about this morning.
Good morning. Well, can you imagine how much guacamole you could make with $300,000 worth of avocados? Guac, however, wasn't what was on the minds of three men from California who are suspected of stealing a huge quantity of the fruit, which is currently surging in popularity. Investigators say they believe the suspects, who were employed by a produce ripening plant in Ventura County, were stealing the avocados over the course of several months and were selling them on the side for their own profit to unsuspecting customers. Typically, police said the trio sold the avocados usually for about $50 a box, or what they're usually priced about $50 per box, for $20 to $30 to keep unsuspecting customers from asking questions. Investigators believe they were responsible for thousands of illegal transactions. Eventually, it was one of the customers who alerted the company last month that something seemed amiss. I don't know why. He was getting a good deal, obviously, right? You know, $20 or $30, you know, and
why ruin it from the rest of us when we were just unsuspectingly purchasing stolen property?
Exactly. And I mean, and just, you know, anecdotally about avocados, and I know there's stats that sort of bear this out, but I mean, like, I was eating in New York, a few meals in New York City over this past weekend.
Yeah.
You can hardly, you know, order like a glass of water without a side of avocado on it now. Like, everything now has avocado on it, so they are immensely popular.
And the price has gone through the roof, I think, as of late, and maybe this is the reason why.
Perhaps.
Yes.
I mean, yeah, this is a pretty large chunk of the avocado harvest that's going on there in California.
A couple of guys here responsible for upsetting the whole marketplace for avocados by stealing stuff.
Exactly. And Gordon, for folks like you who claim on Twitter that I'm helping us race to the gutter with some of my story choices recently, here's another one that might help push that along. The BBC reports that scientists at a robotics lab in the UK have discovered how to turn urine into electricity. How it works is a collection of cylinders is filled with electroactive microorganisms that feed off things that they find in wastewater and urine. Electrons are created as a byproduct, which can then be turned into electricity and used to charge phones and power some lights. Researchers will be testing their theory at the Glastonbury Music Festival later this month.
Oh.
Unsuspecting guinea pigs, I guess.
At the Glastonbury Music Festival.
Yeah.
Yes, where formal bathrooms are probably optional.
Right.
Right.
But you can imagine the, you know, perhaps some practical applications here.
Yes.
Imagine this. Imagine, you know, you're out for a night of drinking.
Yes.
And you know, you leave the bar and yep. you need to call for, like, you know, a cab or an Uber or Lyft or something like that. All of a sudden you realize that your phone is dead.
Right.
And you need it to be charged. And, you know, here we go. Perhaps there's a way that this can happen in the future.
You pull out some tube that has a funnel
right.
connected to some contraption.
Yes.
And you urinate into it and suddenly your phone is charged and you can make the phone call and get your drunk ride home.
There you go.
Yeah. It's very good. Thank you,
UK scientists.
13 minutes now in front of the hour on This Morning, America's First News. It's 9 minutes now in front of the hour on This Morning. Jennifer Koschenka is back with more of America's First News.
According, a man has died and 10 people have been injured after a man drove a van into worshippers at a North London mosque early this morning. 8 people were taken to the hospital after the terrorist attack near Finsbury Park Mosque. This man witnessed the crash.
You say, where's all Muslims? I want to kill all Muslims.
A 48-year-old man has been arrested on suspicion of attempted murder. Police in Virginia have found the remains believed to be of a 17-year-old Muslim girl who was assaulted near a mosque before disappearing. The teenager was walking with friends when they got into a dispute with a driver in Herndon. A 22-year-old suspect has been arrested and charged with murder. The reason for the attack is unknown, but hate crime is one of the options being investigated. A member of the president's outside legal team says President Trump is not under federal investigation. Days after Trump appeared to confirm he was, with a tweet about being the target of a witch hunt. Appearing on a series of morning news programs yesterday, attorney Jay Sekulow repeatedly stressed that the president isn't under investigation.
Look, the president has been, as you know, very effective in utilizing social media. But I want to be very clear here and very direct. The president has not been and is not under investigation.
Sekulow says a Friday tweet from Trump was specifically directed at a story in the Washington Post about the expanding probe into Russia's election meddling. Despite the mistrial declared in Bill Cosby's sexual assault trial after 52 hours of deliberations, prosecutors say they will retry him on 3 counts of aggravated indecent assault. The attorney for Cosby's chief accuser told reporters after the jury was released Saturday that her client believes justice will be done, while Cosby's publicist spun the hung jury as a total victory. Wonder Woman fell to second place in its third weekend in theaters, but is still doing the heavy lifting for the otherwise lackluster summer box office. The third installment in Disney and Pixar's $1 billion Cars franchise took the top spot, but its estimated $53.5 million in earnings was the lowest opening in the series' history.
Whoops.
Didn't get great reviews, that Cars 3.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I don't know if people go by that, but...
Reviews from who? Kids? I mean, come on. Let the kids review it. Next Gen. 6 minutes now in front of the hour. On This Morning, America's First News. Thanks for being with us. It is ridiculously hot in parts of the West, and desert dwellers see temperatures topping 120 degrees as a reason to hunker down indoors, right? Turn the lights off. Turn up the AC. But some tourists welcome this as a bucket list opportunity to experience Death Valley, the hottest place in America. Many will get their chance to do just that in the days ahead as a vicious heat wave bakes part of Arizona, California, and Nevada. Las Vegas temperatures creep near 110 yesterday, could reach 117 when the heat wave peaks by midweek. CBS News says temperatures in Death Valley National Park could creep toward 124 by tomorrow. Officials also warned of excessive heat across southern portions of Arizona and Nevada and throughout California's Central Valley. Business booms, though, as temperatures soar in July and August at Panamint Springs Resort near the entrance of Death Valley National Park. Locals call it European season when tourists arrive in Death Valley to experience heat that is unheard of in Europe. That'll do it for this hour. For Jennifer Koschenka, I'm Gordon Deal. Thanks for listening to This Morning, America's First News.